radio for liftoff. The clock has started. Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny.
Cheers of coffee to you, Kyle.
Ah, yes. Cheers to you, sir. Very good. How's your
I'm
week?
I'm not cheersing Thaddeus P. Brain III, Kyle. I'm cheersing you this morning.
We have played that game with beer before, but we've never played that game with coffee.
No.
I feel we would probably argue so much more.
Instead of dulling our senses, we should just drink like 4 cups of coffee and get really into it.
Yes. Sort of the opposite of what's happening right now for Jason in the chat room, saying that we sound drunk right now because he usually listens to us at 1.5x. I usually listen to myself at 1.5x. So we'll just try to slow it down.
No, don't do that.
More
That's the wrong thing to do.
You sure, Kenny? Because I think it might be a good idea.
What you're really doing is you're punishing the people who listen to it at one, like at regular speed right now.
Right. This is what we sound
like. What does our
like?
Laugh sound like at 1.5? like a goat.
I've tried listening to podcasts at 2x and sometimes 2X. I can do it. Sometimes I can do it. It's more difficult if you use one of the apps that actually removes all the silence because you just don't get a break. It is just bam, 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 back to back to back to back to back.
Right. Just a wall of text.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do that. 1.1 is typically my speed of choice.
What?
A tiny bit faster. So that when I hear people in real life, I don't immediately say like, oh, and get dizzy or anything. I
get dizzy when I hear people speak slower.
When I hear myself speak, I feel exactly how you feel, Jason. I want to talk a lot faster. I feel like I should be talking a lot faster right now.
I listen at 1.5.
I feel a little bit higher when I talk a little bit faster. I don't know why. It just does that.
But then I become acclimated to that speed, and I think that when I go back to regular speed, you're just wasting my time. Mm-hmm. I've heard you speak faster than this.
Come on. Go. Yeah. Tell me more. Can you just do me a favor and record this and put this in an RSS feed so I can listen to faster later?
I'm sure that we could artificially create that sensation if we had more coffee.
Now, there was this service. I think they shut down maybe 3 years ago or so. SoundGecko, I think it was called. So they would go through and you could kind of ingest an article and it would turn it into the reader format for the article. And then it would vocally process the whole thing and read it for you and then upload the MP3 to an RSS feed. So you could then pull it into any podcast player and listen to your articles. I absolutely loved the service, but it is gone now.
It sounds like there's a
used to save me a lot of time for this show. Yeah.
Hey, are you a programmer? Kyle wants you to build something just for him.
There was obviously an issue with the whatever business model they had.
Well, it sounds like they were taking other people's content and selling it as their own. That's the problem.
Yeah. Log in. Sorry, I'm a little distracted.
Oh, I'm on SoundGecko.com. I'm trying to register this domain.
I don't think I
own Falcon Heavy on Twitter. I'm the best. Elon Musk is so envious.
Listen. I am trying to sign in currently. You said that what they're launching today. When are they launching the
10:30 Pacific, 1:30 Eastern. That's their window. start, I guess.
Okay, so it's coming up here in a few hours.
This is the Elon Musk SpaceX tri-rocket. You know, this is their test rocket to say, hey, we can get this thing out of Earth's atmosphere and into Mars' atmosphere. And the only thing that's actually traveling to Mars is a test dummy wearing a brand new SpaceX spacesuit inside of a version 1 Tesla Roadster playing David Bowie.
So just like the animation. See, I thought the animation was a little more like,
that is not fantasy. Like, that is the plan.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. That is the plan. Why do you think they made the video? It's super exciting.
To show you how great music in space would be.
Yeah, I think that it's ambitious, but he also, I don't know if it was him that put out a tweet this morning or yesterday, but basically, you know, the sentiment is, if this works, this turns everything upside down for heavy space travel. This is it. This is the beginning right here. This is sure. Judgment Day.
Of course.
For
of
space
course.
Travel.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
this is when that crash test dummy takes over. Right to Mars.
So he's trying to kind of like compliment sandwich his releases over the last week or so. He releases a $500 flamethrower for the
masses. It's not a flamethrower.
It is a
roofing, it is labeled not a flamethrower so that it can get through customs.
Flamethrower. a flame tosser, maybe. A flame.
It is a giant flambe device.
It's a candle starter, but really big.
You can stand 12 feet away and light your candles.
Handheld barbecue.
Oh, handheld barbecue? If you would have told me Christmas item or not, I would have guessed no.
CES or not. That's right. So what do I do with the
we're gonna have to have a Musk or not.
Yeah, that's, you know, eventually we will. You just have to smell me a lot.
So you're asking what should you do with your Twitter handle?
Yeah. So I have we've talked about this before. I have at Falcon Heavy. Nobody's tweeted at me so far. A lot of, let's see, 2 hours ago, boy, 12 others liked my tweet. People are tagging me at the moment. The at L Falcon Heavy. Good luck to me today. Thank you. Thank you, Batteries Unlimited. We're keeping
you, should, you should really tweet out for you. I hope this works.
Wow. Okay. All right. So
I can't wait to get into space.
Okay. I think.
But you have to tweet as though you are the rocket.
I have to. Oh,
like, you're not the team behind the rocket, that you are the rocket.
Elon Musk vision readies at Falcon Heavy for launch. What the heck? Okay. All right.
Is this getting good? This is all becoming so real for you, Kyle. Oh, 12 likes.
Yes, it is true. This is stroking my ego in a way that no other rocket has before. So I'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. Okay. I'll report back. Kenny, speaking of reporting back, you and I both tried Taco Bell $1 nacho fries.
Why did you make that noise? Why did you lead up with that noise? I actually liked them. You didn't like them?
Bell $1 nacho fries.
You didn't like them, did you?
I was unimpressed, I would say. Wait, with
hold on.
Taco Bell $1 nacho fries.
You're making this sound like you ate one and you immediately spit it back up because it just avoided your mouth. It didn't want to be in there.
So at $1, let me just say this: at $1, you get an it's like an amuse-bouche, right? But for Taco Bell, you at $1.
Are you talking about the box? Did you get the box?
I got the box. You saw the aftermath of the box. I sent you a picture.
Right. That's right.
It was on my passenger seat in my vehicle. about the most unsavory way to eat any Taco Bell food, but probably the only way to eat any Taco Bell food. It was a handful of fries. I shoved them in my face and that was it. I did not. One of the differences, I think, here to most other Taco Bell food is that it's a vehicle for sauce. And these nacho fries are not a vehicle for sauce. Like, I don't want to have to take my little sauce packet and go boop, 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 onto, you know, each fry. It just doesn't make sense. I need a bucket of sauce, Kenny.
Vessel. It's a dip. You dip it in the nacho cheese.
You dip it. You dip it. I don't have... See, my soundboard, I could show you right now. My soundboard is...
Okay.
Devoid of everything except this one.
Ay, ay, ay.
And that's all I have at the
moment. And that's fine. I will say it does. They did include a tiny. It's like seasoned fries. It's not just like regular potato fries.
Taco seasoned fries.
I don't. There was a little bit of brown sugar in it. Like they had been touching the dusting for the cinnamon twists.
They kept them side by side in the same thing, the cinnamon crispas, if you would.
Right, but I didn't hate it. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just a touch. But I did send you a picture of the box of nacho fries sitting in my giant hand, and it does make my hand look giant because they give you what you would assume a dollar worth of fries is.
Yes, yes.
It's like 10 fries.
It's less than one potato, I think.
Yeah, the cost of the potato is greater than the dollar that you get.
Yeah.
Yes. To them.
To them, yes. I would say so.
I would get it again if it was included as an extra in a meal. That's fine.
If they were literally given to me for free, yeah, sure, I might eat them.
Yeah,
but why not? Never again.
Not I don't happen. Think I'd go out of my way to get them, though.
I've got a related story in the news, Kenny. You want to just get to that right now?
Okie dokie.
These are today's headlines.
You know, I forgot that they were separated. I'll get the hang of this eventually, Kenny. What's going on? Like,
where is he? Where is?
What's
all right? You want me to hit this first story here, Kyle?
Please, would you?
There is a chemical in McDonald's fries that could cure baldness.
Now, this is
study says
McDonald's fries, not in
McDonald's
the
fries.
New Taco Bell $1 nacho fries.
Right, but fries, you know, there you go. Japanese scientists have discovered a cure for baldness, and it lies within a chemical used to make McDonald's fries. A stem cell research team from Yokohama National University used a, quote, simple method to regrow hair on mice by using, here we go. Actually, can I get Garko to read this one? This is a chemical.
Garko is not on this machine.
Hey, Garko.
He's still
die.
Actually, Kenny, it's dimethyl polysiloxane.
Mm-hmm. That is the silicon used or added to McDonald's fries to stop cooking oil from frothing. Oh, preliminary tests indicated that the groundbreaking method was likely to be just as successful when transferred to human skin cells. So let's find out how they conducted this, or let's find out who produced this hypothesis in the first place. Oh, no, I spilled my fries onto my mice. Wait a second. They're growing hair.
You got mice in my French fries. I got French fries in your mice.
Oh, yeah, this sounds like...
It's what happens when you make friends with a snake, and you're both having lunch together, and they're halfway through their meal, and you're halfway through yours, and you shake the fry onto the little mouse, and the snake goes, that has hair in it.
Okay, Kyle. All right. I mean, I understand, like, they're just making the Newsweek article here is sensationalizing that, McDonald's uses this one chemical that these Japanese scientists use over here. It's absolutely unrelated, but somebody figured out the correlation between the two and decided to write an article about it.
Right.
And of course, it grabbed our attention. But I really, really wish that these Japanese scientists were sourcing their chemicals or their process straight from the local McDonald's. Like, hey, you guys got any extra chemicals? You guys got any extra fry oil that doesn't froth?
How many fry oils did
they try? Rub it on my head!
How many fry oils did they try before figuring out that, first of all, how cool it needed to be to not cook the rats? And two... Which
they're not pouring no Kyle, they're not pouring oil on the affected area. It's not what they're doing.
You sure? I feel like that's what Newsweek is telling me here.
I'm literally visualizing that they're gonna start human tests and they're just gonna have like a pitcher of oil and pour it on the dude's head and then it just sprouts like a cartoon.
Listen, I feel like the bigger headline here is that
it just grows McDonald's fries instead of hair.
Oh my gosh.
Like Bart Simpson hair.
Yes. Oh, I need this. I need that.
Yeah.
Not that I eat my hair right now anyway, but if it was French fries.
I think there's a name for that.
Eating your hair.
Eating hair disorder. Hold on.
Is it pica? Is it like a form of pica? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The more important part here, Kenny, the more important part
is trichotillomania.
There is silicone in your McDonald's fry cooking oil, which count me as one of the people. I did not know that.
No, it's not in the oil. It's in the fry.
Well, it ends up in the fry. It's eventually in both. I mean, really, if we're
thinking about it. I don't know. It says the silicon added to McDonald's fries to stop cooking oil from frothing. It doesn't say it's added to the oil. It says it's added to the fries. Yeah.
It's in the fry. Fine. Good. So how many fries do you have to eat to regrow
hair?
Regrow all your hair. Yeah. Is that my body hair problem? Maybe all my McDonald's fries. Maybe.
I don't know, Kyle, but I want to move us on to this next food related story here.
Please do.
Food related headline. A robot made pizza startup Zoom Pizza is expanding. I just had these guys last week. Zoom Pizza, a startup that uses robots to make pizza pies, is expanding its human workforce. They currently have robots and humans working together to make pizza. The Silicon Valley company plans to increase its workforce sevenfold this year, avenged sevenfold this year.
That's a lot. Yes. Uh-huh.
I can't not say that when I see that word. Why would you use that word and not just imply that you know the band, right?
You don't want to put robots and avenged in the same article just because you don't.
That's true. Yeah, but you can put sevenfold. Zoom,
of course.
Yeah, Zoom offers opportunities for entry-level employees to learn new skills and advance their careers so they don't risk being replaced by robots. Okay, but they're entry-level, and that's exactly what robots are.
No, see, Zoom? Zoom-y. Which one are we going?
Zoom. I would say Zoom Pizza. That's what we say in the Valley.
So
us over there.
Yeah, goodness. So Zoom Pizza, maybe they are creating robots that are taking skilled jobs, and us meat sacks over here are getting the unskilled jobs. Have you ever thought of that? So the skilled, maybe the unskilled job is like pizza taster? And then the skill job is actually...
That's my favorite job!
The making of the pizza.
Wow, that's my favorite job ever.
Doesn't that sound good? I'll go get a job at Zoom.
No, they have good pizza, though. They only have a few varieties.
Okay, please describe, because I've got an article in here that I did want to get to that maybe now is a good time to cover it, but...
Sure, why not?
What's it taste like? Describe
What's
it
the Zoom pizza taste like?
Yeah.
Like, do you want me to try to find a comparable pizza that it resembles? Or do you want me to try to describe exactly what it tastes like?
Try to describe exactly what it tastes like. Just tell me real slow, please.
Well, there's a motherboard.
Okay, hold on. Tell me about the dough pizza. Is there cornmeal? Is there what kind of dough? What's the crust like? Tell me about the pizza. But just slow.
You got the music?
Slow. Oh yeah.
Okay.
How quickly should I bring it in?
Well. Each slice.
Oh my gosh! Please, faster, faster, go faster.
Has 16 gigs of RAM.
Oh, okay. All right. closing the tab. Don't need that anymore.
It's like I would say it's between a Domino's and a round table pizza, but it's better than Domino's.
Better than Domino's, worse than round table.
So it's got thinner crust than Domino's. Ingredients are good. It does do pepperoni pizza. The pepperoni is almost like Mountain Mike's pepperoni, where it has that little, like, it turns into a bowl of grease, like our favorite thing ever.
Yeah, pep cups.
It almost does that. Yeah. It almost does that.
Okay. All right.
The cheese is good. It's it's pretty even. Like, the robots know what they're doing when they're spreading everything evenly. And it's not overly sauced like a Costco pizza.
Hold on, you can never overly sauce a pizza, first of all.
You can overly sauce a Costco pizza because it's gross sauce.
Okay.
They don't do good sauce over there. It's like they took lasagna tomato paste and they
We've never really talked about ideal pizzas on this show. We have only talked about
ideal pizzas?
Yeah, like pizza hashtag robotic. Cool pizza. Yeah, no. I understand.
Mean, this Zoom pizza, this is the whole reason my name exists.
So we're really digging deep into the origin stories for our Twitter handles this episode. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we just need to hear a dog burp. That's what we need.
I'll get one. Just you wait. How about,
I'm gonna move us on then.
No. Let's talk about this. We need to
before
talk about,
I do.
We need to talk about the national pizza chains ranked, because it seems like you and I disagree with which pizzas are best and which pizzas are worse. Now, this is coming to us from some people in West Michigan, which is fine. Okay. Whatever. MMLive.com.
Well, I do want to say we did find out that our distaste for no pun intended, our distaste for Pizza Hut is a regional thing, because we've had listeners tell us that Pizza Hut, like Midwest and East Coast, is actually really good. And it turns out Pizza Hut in our area growing up and today in the, you know, Central California and Southern California, is not so great for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michigan bias or Germany bias.
Germany,
here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll listen to this study. I'll take what they have to give.
Great. Now, part of this study over at MLive.com is they were looking at what seemed to be 13 different pizzas? They took the top five in national sales, including number one, Pizza Hut. Number two, Domino's, Papa John's, Little Caesars, and Papa Murphy's. We are familiar with all of those, yes? Question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
I don't think I've ever had a Papa John's pizza, though. I know they exist.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever had a Papa John's pizza.
Okay, so we'll just put that one over there. Along with the top five, they looked at a couple other national chains available in West Michigan. They say Hungry Howie's, Jet's, never had it, Old Chicago Pizza, Pyology, Cottage Inn, BC Pizza, and then a couple of others that I've never heard of. So
I feel like Pyology is kind of a cheat there, because you're kind of leaving it up to the consumer to really mess up their pizza.
Well, what they did was they made the same pizza for all of these.
Oh,
they
I see.
Pepperoni, cheese. They judged the appearance, the quality of the crust, etc.
Okay.
My main problem with this, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes, goodstuff.fm/morningshow/380 They ordered all these pizzas at once. So,
okay.
Between the two of them, who I guess wanted to try this out, how are you going to eat 13 pizzas and keep everything warm? You're not. That's the answer. You're not. And they
okay, so you're saying that the bias comes from the order in which they are received slash the order in which they are consumed.
And half of these are lukewarm pizza and not cold pizza.
Well, now, hold on. Or they're judged in appearance, quality of crust, pepperoni, and overall taste.
Not so, heat.
I mean, appearance and you know what? Yeah. If you got to reheat these, you're really kind of strewing.
Yeah, whatever that means. I have no idea what that means.
I don't know what that is. I've never used that word before.
It's what happens when you take a pizza and you take it out of the box. No. You leave it in the box. And
you let it stew.
Inside of the box and get real steamy. They say several of the pizzas were still warm, but we accounted for the fact that most of them had cooled considerably while being transported to our special test kitchen, which is actually a table in our office where we put all the pizza boxes. All right.
Oh.
So I'm going to click on this. Let me get into what they think. And we'll just cover the ones that we've had before so that we can either agree or disagree with these. Number 13, Papa John's. I've had it. Yeah, I would say 13. It's not memorable. I probably haven't had it for 15 years or so.
15?
Yeah. It's been a long time. Been a very long time. All right, so that one was number 13. It looks okay. It actually doesn't look that bad. It looks almost like a Pizza Hut pizza. Number 12, Domino's. Is Domino's the bottom of the bucket for you? Is that not a pizza that is desirable to you?
I mean, Domino's tends to be one of the cheaper options, right? I mean, especially recently, they've kind of upped their marketing game and really kind of tried to get out and be your first choice, despite their quality of taste, because the quality, not so great. Feels really mass-produced. I mean, the king of cheap mass-produced, Little Caesars, right there. But you can count on them to have consistency. Mm-hmm. The pizza, the $5 large pepperoni pizza I had, you know, 5 years ago, tastes exactly the same as the one I had yesterday, right? There's no variation in there. They have the consistency in Little Caesars is awesome. It's consistently kind of weird and not that great, but
so
Domino's they have good crust though. Domino's has good crust.
I agree. I think the Domino's game has really been upped over the last 5 years, I guess, whenever they made that major change to putting sort of the garlicky, herby stuff on the crust and making their tomato sauce way more zesty. I feel like Domino's should have been higher on this list, but we'll look at some of the others here. 12, Domino's, 11, Papa Murphy's.
I feel like Papa Murphy's, again, this is one of those ones where it's up to the consumer. You could really butcher that pizza. You get good quality ingredients. You get good quality crust. But you leave it in too long, pizza's ruined.
Now, the reason you say that is because Papa Murphy's, which is different from the rest of these on this list, are actually take and bake. Which is
take and bake.
I feel like that is not necessarily fair, but also
I agree.
This is one of the ones that they could have absolutely 100% guaranteed that it was like saucy and hot and ready to go, ready to taste. Papa Murphy, I'm not a fan. We've had it a whole bunch. They say they've been in operation since 1995. So I feel like I've had a lot. I'm skipping number 10 and moving.
What? Why are you skipping number 10? Because it's one we've never heard of.
Fazoli's.
Yeah. No, I don't even want to. Yeah. Skip it.
Number 9. Pyology.
Okay, number so they nine. Have Pyology rated above Domino's and Papa Murphy's.
But look at this. Look at this monstrosity of a pizza. Someone messed up. This is one of the worst.
Are you saying the order was messed up, or the employee at Pyology was messed up?
But you know what? I'm putting this into our live chat room right now, so you can see it, folks over there. This is one of the worst pizzas in this entire list, and there's no way.
There's no excuse for this.
No, absolutely not. And this does not deserve to be even number 9 on this list.
In this, okay, so let's actually take a quick pause here for these new I don't want to say restaurants. I mean these new like fast food chains where it's like the monster from Goonies. with these ones where you go,
the pepperoni doesn't even look cooked.
Where you go along the line and you watch them make the food, you are now the quality, you are the QA of this transaction. You watch yes. them do it. You are the one, you are the gatekeeper. If you watch yes. them mess up, it's on you. They watched these people turn a perfectly fine crust sure. with sure. and sauce and cheese, and they laid the pepperoni out, and the person ordering must have gone, okay, that's fine. And then they took it out. They watched them take it out of the oven, place it on this box, and roll out the cutter. And they had all the time in the world to go, yeah, that's not okay.
Now, for scientific purposes, for science, you just leave it, right? This is the creation that they have made. It is, but I think to your point, and the issue here is that there's so much variability in what you get from Pyology, because it is like ad hoc. It just happens. It's so bespoke that you don't get a consistent product between the different places that Pyology has a spot, right? There's so many now. So yeah. many. Yeah. All right, let's continue. Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. I've never had this. I would really like to try it. Anything with Chicago and pizza, I'm on board with. But that was number 8. Number 7, Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Wow. I like the Pizza Hut box, though.
Sure.
They've kind of upped their game on the box, on okay, the delivery
we're
method.
We're not talking about the box here. Scroll down. Scroll down yeah. and look at the pizza inside it. Of it.
Yeah, I see it.
Tell me what you notice about this pizza.
What I notice is that it looks like there's more crust than there is cheese.
Do you also notice the fact that this must have been sliced and then pulled apart when it was ice cold? There is no yes, way.
This was sitting under warmers for a while.
Yes, and the cheese is not even connected between the two slices at all. It yeah. is a complete
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would be rolling in their graves right now.
Well, hold on. Dead. Wait, yeah, what?
There's no other way. I mean, they're fictional, so I can't really say that they're...
Okay. All right. Great. They'd be wonderful.
They'd be rolling in their pizza thrower.
Yes, they would. They absolutely
They'd be tumbling
would.
Down the highway.
They said that there was almost an off cheese flavor with this, which I can understand.
Yeah, because it's not cheese. They're not giving you cheese. It's probably the silicone stuff that McDonald's puts on their fries. You can eat Pizza Hut and get hair growing out of your eyeball.
Okay. Is that what the Pizza Hut grease does? Just hair out of the eyeballs. That's the only place that the yeah. grease happens. Yeah. They also say here, when they're talking about the Pizza Hut pizza, they're mm-hmm. not real hot on it, even though it is number 7 on their list. They say, we do like their chicken wings, which
that shouldn't give them a higher spot. because they like, oh, the pizza was atrocious.
Are you kidding?
But their chicken wings are great. So they get halfway up.
This is, first of all, this is an awful list, but I just want to talk with you about each of these, namely for this next one, number six, probably close to my number one, Hungry Howie's.
Yeah, they messed up here. Hungry Howie's is great. They have really good, they have quality ingredients Howie's. And quality crust. How can you, I mean, again, I think the problem here is that there's some regional differences in pizza. In these chains, because it might be where they source their ingredients and it's different based on, you know, the region of the country. We're a huge country. Of course, it's going to have, you know, different sources. You can't get the same cheese in New York that you get in LA. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, maybe Pizza Hut does because they're gross. Hungry Howie's, Kyle. I mean, you were living in East Bay and we would have Hungry Howie's every now and then. And I loved it. Like, I thought it was top tier. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, the cream of the crop.
No cream, just tomato sauce mostly.
Except that you liked Hungry Howie's at a time when you were vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And so you'd get it with like really gross toppings. And I hated that.
No, cheese. I got cheese only. What are you talking about? I only ever got cheese.
Feta cheese.
Yeah, what's wrong with feta cheese?
Feta cheese on a pizza, Kyle?
Fettuccine on a pizza.
Huh? Oh, wow. That would be fettuccine Alfredo pizza. Somebody, give us that.
Have you never seen mac and cheese pizza?
I've seen mac and cheese pizza.
What's the difference?
But I want to see like Olive Garden create their fettuccine Alfredo pizza.
Oh, boy. Do I have a story for you coming up soon, Kenny. we're going to skip number five and number six.
Yeah, that's...
Those
are both regional.
We're gonna go.
What?
Yeah. So bring us to number three, Kenny.
Kyle, number three, Little Caesars.
Who? Oh, blah.
You remember what I was saying? Hey, not remember 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
This pizza, I'm looking at it right now. This does look like the exact same pizza that I got 5 years ago. Like my photographic memory is just telling me, yeah, I took that picture.
Here's my problem with Little Caesars, and again, it's probably a regional thing, and it's probably a hyper regional thing because we had a Little Caesars right across the street from our high school, and my high school, not yours.
Yeah,
and used to go there all the time.
Right,
and I think I got Caesared out. I got a Little Caesared out, and I just can't anymore. Now, there are similarities between this and Hungry Howie's because they use the cornmeal crust. And they've got sort of this caramely thing happening with the cheese. It looks real good. It looks very similar. It's also a little bigger.
I would say that in first impressions on the appearance, despite the pepperoni being like someone threw it at like blindly, like they were covering their eyes and they tossed it on the pizza. The cheese looks nice and toasty. The crust looks great and the pepperoni looks cooked. I would eat this hands down. Some of these other pizzas that they have, like that Pieology monstrosity.
Yeah.
I think I would avoid it even though it's pizza. I would go do it again. So,
and
this is interesting.
I'm going to bring you to one we've never heard of, but I need you to look at this image. Number two, BC Pizza.
BC Pizza. That is a vessel for oil.
This is almost more disgusting than Pieology. I'll paste this one into our chat.
I don't know.
So that you can see and be grossed out.
So I can't tell if there's more grease on the pizza or on the paddle that they are serving it on. Are you seeing that?
It's like a
waterfall of grease.
It is a grease fall of grease, because waterfall would be like a for water.
Yeah. Oh, that's like hurting my head.
Niagara Falls of grease, and not the country. So there's the list. There's their awful, awful, awful.
Hold
list.
On.
I just need
the old, to... wait. Hold on, but BC Pizza has by far the best URL for their website: bc.pizza.
Okay, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
Don't be. because that pizza is just
well. And then and then number one, we got Cottage Inn.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, that looks like I'm going to go stay at the Cottage Inn. And then they say, nah, we're not a hotel. We're actually
we're a pizza.
And I would
place.
Say, can I live there?
Absolutely not.
They say, can I just read what they say really quick?
Sure.
They say it's overall winner. All the ingredients combined for a near perfect pie. It's the only one that got a star. Said blah, blah, blah. Who uses a star system when we travel and evaluate restaurants and looks good, tastes good, blah, blah, blah. The cheese blend was spot on and it has a nice chew on the dough. And it was a tad greasy, but in the right way. Found primarily blah, 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 shiggity schwa. That so it had a chew and it was kind of greasy, but it's number one. Shut up. This is the stupidest ranking I've ever seen.
If you can take a straw to the top of a pizza and actually suck up like a straw's worth of grease, that's a bad pizza. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Here. That's a bad pizza. It also makes that's for right. a bad cold pizza. Because I don't want to have to peel off little patches, little scabs of grease from my cold pizza.
I could say that Papa Murphy's probably would have the least grease.
That's probably
true. I think that they would probably have the least grease.
Yeah, so. Least grease.
Yeah, least grease.
Hey, speaking of greasy, you can now get something called Italian nachos at the Olive Garden. That's what I was alluding to earlier.
Did you say Olive Garden?
Olive Garden. Hi, I'm Olive Garden.
Hello, I'm Olive Gordon Ramsay.
That's
not his accent. Oh my gosh, do not click on that link, by the way. There's some autoplay nonsense happening.
Yeah, so that's why I copied and pasted some of the
this information. This is direct from Orlando.
Mr. Gordon's newest dish is...
No. Hmm? Don't attribute this to Mr. Gordon.
Okay, hold on. Teamcold.pizza is available... we need to get on that right now. We need to get on that. Hey. Before this goes live to the masses, we need to get on that right now. Let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Gordon's olive nachos.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically what they call new loaded pasta chips. They've been dubbed, quote-unquote, Italian nachos online, blah, 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 blah. It's basically a plate of cheese-topped tortilla chips made of fried lasagna squares with meat sauce, cherry peppers, and an Alfredo drizzle. So it's kind of
I don't like them calling that meat sauce like that.
Meat sauce.
Meat sauce.
Why not? What's wrong with meat sauce?
Hello, Spider-Man. I'm your evil nemesis, Meat Sauce. Nice to meet you.
I mean, I mean, spot on. I'm willing to try these.
I also don't like finished up with an Alfredo drizzle.
Why not? What's too creamy for you? I guess
I didn't even look if there's a picture. Oh, there is a picture. This is who among, I mean, this had to go through so many levels at the Olive Garden, you know, headquarters.
And you like, know it's not going to look like this when Tony, you get it at you your table.
Idea? Yeah, I got this idea for Italian nachos.
Okay.
I'm interested. Tell me more. Okay, here's what we do. We just get nachos with other ingredients that we have in the kitchen. And then we sell it on our menu for like $10. I love it.
Okay. Part of this whole like, oh no, let's do a fusion thing. Let's do this new twist on an old classic. The old classic.
You can't call nachos fusion.
Okay. But no, Italian nachos are fusion. Absolutely. Olive Garden is now a fusion restaurant. The reason I ask is because what was that? Jack in the Box had this commercial during the Super Bowl showing what they call a food truck series of sandwiches, which are sort of related to Martha Stewart, kinda, but she has no affiliation with food trucks. And why would they take something that is associated with the mobility of food and say that that is a style of food? I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening with
Yeah, it's not like all food trucks have sandwiches, right?
Or banh mi's.
Yeah,
it doesn't. I don't get it. Although, I don't understand. It's frustrating.
That's I would eat that stuff. I would eat the Jack in the Box. Those look pretty good.
I know you would.
Well, they look good in the menu, right? They look good on the commercial and their promotional images. When I get them, it's going to be, you know, half the size I expect. Sure. And smushed into the bun. Yeah, it happens.
Trying not to make a joke, but it's really, really hard.
Can I also just say on this article here?
Yeah,
I went to the actual URL, and the very you read through the article, it's about four or five paragraphs here, and no, just four. And then the very next thing that you see is a giant headline grabbing. My eyeball looks right at it, and it just says "report a typo."
Oh,
that's their main concern. Hey, here's some nachos. We're gonna autoplay this terrible video for you, but let us know if we misspelled anything.
Let them know that it's Olive Garden, not Olive Gordon, if you would. speaking of Italian food, Kenny, Ruffles. They've now got mozzarella stick potato chips.
Okay, so it just tastes like fried cheese.
I think the marinara has something to do with your mozzarella stick experience.
Oh, no. No, you would dip the Ruffles in marinara.
No.
I would. Absolutely. If it tasted like a mozzarella stick?
No. Where are you going to get marinara on the go?
You get a foily bag of Ruffles. You stick it in the microwave. You watch it spark up. You heat them up. Then you dip them in cold marinara.
good point, though. The marinara does need to be cold. It needs to just be
Who serves almost icy. warm, lukewarm.
It depends. So here's how it goes. Mozzarella sticks, cold marinara. Like pizza knots that you get from a pizza place, warm marinara. I make the distinction only because. I like the cheesy flavor with some cold pizza sauce. Just right in.
Okay.
There.
Okay. And then the pizza knots.
It's got to be warm because you want to have
be like a warm package that you're having.
Yeah, because you want warm dough. The dough's got to be warm weird. And the thing's going to be
weird.
Yeah. I just. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about. Yeah, exactly. It's okay. Deconstructed pizza. It's from a food truck.
Right. Yeah.
Ruffles.
All right, boss.
While the chip flavor was spotted in Canada in 2017, it appears this is the first time it's been seen in the U.S. In addition to Safeway, the chips have been spotted at Walmart, of course.
Walmart, no hyphen.
No, just the no star, no b-hole either. According to the description on the bag, they're a perfect blend of smooth mozzarella cheese.
Right over that.
And tangy marinara seasoning.
I don't know about that. I don't think marinara is supposed to be tangy.
What's marinara seasoning?
I don't like
oregano
dry marinara,
like literal oregano, just oregano.
Yeah.
I'm trying to maybe like peppers, like little red pepper flakes. I want tomato. I want tangy tomato,
like freeze dried tomato and oregano.
Yeah, if you're gonna flavor blast me, Ruffles, I need like a good amount of tomato powder in here. It needs to taste tomatoey.
I don't think that phrase has ever been uttered in the history of man. Tomato powder.
You don't have
tomato powder? That's not a thing, is it?
Oh my gosh, yes it is. Absolutely.
Okay.
How else do you get your tomato concentrate into your dishes, Kenny? You squeeze a tomato real hard and hope it gets just kind of tiny.
No, I'd put a tomato in it.
Oh, like a tomato.
Normal.
Okay. Okay. Like an actual tomato.
Like a normie.
You can do tomato paste, which is basically just reconstituted, you know.
Or I tomatoes. Just spread ketchup over everything.
Right. Yes. Ketchup on your pasta. Ketchup on your mozzarella sticks.
Which brings up a a brilliant point that I'm making right now.
Oh boy.
Breakfast ketchup. Actually, any ketchup, any time of the day. Do you think it needs to be cold ketchup? Or can it be just like room temperature ketchup?
Boy.
I'm ready to make enemies.
With me?
With everybody.
Okay. Boy. I don't think it matters, really.
Nah.
I don't have a preference. I guess, okay, it depends on the food. Let me just say it depends on the food. If it's a hot dog...
You're not putting ketchup on cold food. You're not putting ketchup on not cold food. You're putting on hot food. That's the only kind of food that gets ketchup.
Oh boy. And it needs to be...
It needs to be cold.
Cold. Okay. All
right. That's right.
This is... Boy. All right.
If you put room temperature ketchup on my breakfast, get out of here. You've ruined my breakfast. You've ruined my scrambled eggs. You've ruined my country potatoes. You've ruined my oatmeal.
But it makes...
Rule of threes, Kyle. Come on. That's the right there, comedy.
Yeah, sure. Kenny, speaking of comedy, I'm going to tell you about the National Day and the National Month, because it's... We need to go over some of the national months here.
Okay, you mean what we're celebrating this month?
Yeah. What are we celebrating for Friddadel? And
Friddadel.
Number one, it's National Canned Food Month.
Okay, so that's where the tomato paste comes from.
No,
we celebrate it. We only eat canned food this month.
I would not recommend doing canned tomatoes unless they are San Marzano, which are, you know, very, very good. Other than that,
I don't know
It's Gordon San Marzano. Canned food. So if you the lining of cans in tomato, it's fine. Doesn't matter.
Continue.
Eat all the GMOs you want. National Chocolate Lovers Month.
I can see that for the middle of the month being Valentine's Day. So chocolate lovers celebrate, you know, your month. This is it.
National Cherry Month.
Probably covered in chocolate, right?
Cherry.
I don't think cherries are in season right now. So why would it be National Cherry Month?
I'm not sure. You've saved them, or they're chocolate covered, like you said. You've frozen them, and they're just like little BBs, and you throw them at people. Kenny, it's National Grapefruit Month.
Don't cover that in chocolate. That'd be disgusting.
Maybe dark chocolate with a little bit of salt. Like, try to balance it out a little bit.
Nope.
Come to my chocolate covered grapefruit truck. Kenny, we'll serve you right.
Why do you have a truck that's made of grapefruit and you put chocolate over the whole thing?
It's not
a chocolate covered grapefruit truck.
That's not how trucks work, Kenny. National Snack Food Month.
That's every month.
Come on. Yeah, pretty much. Also, National Potato Lovers Month.
So chocolate lovers month and potato lovers month. Yeah. I'm gonna give my Valentine a potato.
Have you ever had a chocolate covered potato chip?
No. Oh yes, I have. I thought you were gonna say chocolate covered potato, and I was gonna say, oh no.
What's the difference?
Chip, yes.
What's the difference? It's still a potato. If it's a chip, it's still a potato.
It's salted and crispy underneath the chocolate. A potato, I would imagine, is mushy and unflavored. Chocolate covered mashed potatoes. No gravy for me, just Hershey syrup.
It's like no. It's not Hershey syrup. It's like the opposite. So you know the chocolate shell that you can put on your ice cream, but it hardens like right away. It's kind of the opposite of that. You pour it onto the hot potatoes as they're steaming, and it
I really
hardens.
Want to do that. I really want to do that and really freak somebody out.
Have a chocolate shell. You could probably make your mashed potatoes. Yeah, like
send us a video and we'll play it on the show.
We've got
this is an audio medium, but
we've never done that. That's not a thing that we would ever do.
I don't know. I want someone to do it.
It's also return shopping carts to the supermarket month.
Okay, so if I see a shopping cart, I need to return it then. Like, yes, this is a call to action?
Yes, you are obligated to bring it back to the supermarket. Okay. It's also National Hot Breakfast Month.
Right there.
Mmm.
Mmm. Should also be National Breakfast Ketchup Month. Actually, it's National Breakfast Ketchup Year.
It has to be cold, right? I mean,
right. Okay. Right.
Got it. I gotcha. Third weekend in February is National Margarita Weekend. If you can keep track by then, ta-da! Super Bowl Sunday, which just happened, was the National Pork Rind Day. Also known as National Pork Rind Appreciation Day.
Whenever Super Bowl Sunday happens to be, that becomes National Pork Rind Day?
Yes.
I didn't have any pork rinds this Sunday.
I didn't either. I made a nice tasty hummus, white miso hummus. Dip my veggies
in it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That's the worst.
It was a lot of garbanzos.
Oh my gosh. Okay, tell me what today is. What is today's national day?
Today's national day is National Chopsticks Day.
All right. And I can't eat those, but I can eat with them.
You can eat with them. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Get it? Because they have little points. It's two of them. In old Chinese, chopsticks are called kuaizi. You're driving me kuaizi. Roughly mean quick little bamboo fellows. Which, that's cool, right?
All right, that's actually right there. That's our show title.
Over a quarter of the world's population uses chopsticks as their primary utensil for eating, which I did not know. Did not know that. Chopsticks. I did not know that.
That is the world's a quarter?
Population. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people over there.
The first chopsticks were probably used for cooking. Stirring the fire, serving or grabbing bits of food, and not as eating utensils.
Oh, like so those giant ones that people use with the big wok, and yes. they're turning the food with the giant chopsticks. I don't know how they're holding those things, but they're just like shwump, shwump, shwump.
It's pretty easy. They're not that big. I've got some in the kitchen. They're pretty useful too if you don't want to like grab something with a big old spatula or you know
right.
Big old wood.
You don't want your noodles like getting stuck to another utensil. This is a good way to kind of keep everything loose and moving.
Yeah. Now, so what I like most about this though is that the evolution of eating with chopsticks came from being bigger ones first of all, and like grabbing bits of food and serving food. So are there any utensils that you're using now to serve food that eventually we're going to adopt for actually shoving directly in your face?
A
ladle is probably a good idea. Like an entire bowl of soup just in a thing with a handle, and you can slurp it in one go. What else like salad?
I don't know if you've never used a whisk to scoop up some spaghetti, that's the way to do it.
Are you joking with me right now?
Yeah, I'm joking, you idiot.
Okay. Because you could, sounds pretty good.
Or you stick a whisk in like your oatmeal and then you lick it off, kind of like you've made a cake and you're licking the cake like batter off of the...
I put raw eggs in my oatmeal anyway. I like the idea, though, of... I don't. I like the idea, though, of like threading pasta through a whisk. And then coming up with like an ice cream cone sized pasta, like turkey
pasta
leg.
Pasta to go.
Yeah, it's like a turkey leg. You could take it with you. It's kind of dangling down and the sauce is getting on your hand, but you're okay.
Hey, but that's how an ice cream cone works too.
That's true.
It's dripping. You got to get those bits that are starting to drip. Those are the first ones you go for. Lip, lip, lip.
Sounds really good. Chopsticks shapes and length vary from region to region. Chinese versions are tapered with blunt ends. Japanese are shorter, more pointed. You can go look at all of this in the show notes. Cool. And of course, let's see. Got it. Yeah. Chopsticks is a music thing too. Ta-da!
Congratulations. We're all asleep.
I did it.
Yeah, great.
It's a lot louder. We can also go to multiplayerpiano.com if you'd like to and play around with that.
Yeah, totally.
Kenny, I think that's it. We've covered quite a bit today.
That's right. And I think the it being National Chopsticks Day, let's make that a call to action. Eat something with chopsticks today.
Sure. You should also
mashed potatoes.
Go over
to do not play chopsticks as our outro. Do not play outro chopsticks, outro chopsticks.
Help me out, Kenny. Come on.
I am not on multiplayer piano. I can't help you.
No. You don't have to play this. You just need to.
You need to sign us out. No, yeah. I need you to talk because I want you to stop playing.
No, I can't do both at the same time.
Okay, you can go to goodstuff.fm/morningshow for this episode and a lot of other episodes. That's how I work. I listen to Kyle play the piano and I mess up my words. Check out the other great shows on goodstuff.fm and give us a follow on Twitch to know when we're live. Usually we do Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. If that changes, we'll let you know. Hopefully you love this episode and the Good Stuff Morning Show. Head over to Good Stuff Morning Show, goodstuff.fm/morningshow, sorry, and click on the Apple Podcast link to give us a rating and a review. It also helps if you tell a friend about the show because they want to know that you're on Team Cold Pizza just like us. Kyle, we'll be back next week.
Yes, we will, Kenny.
And next week, next Tuesday, which we'll be back, is my birthday. So we'll be back on my birthday.
That sounds like I
hope you have
time.
Something you, prepared you... that's not stupid chopsticks.
Oh, man. Why not?
We're also, you and I are going to go to Universal Studios this weekend.
That's right. Yes,
and we're going to go visit the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I'm very excited for that trip.
Mm-hmm. I want to flick my wand and expecto patronum.
Excuse me? Oh, boy.
Keep going. All right, that's it for us.
Thank you.
I'm Pizza Robotics on Twitter. Kyle is Dog Burps. And Falcon Heavy is launching. Follow that Twitter handle for Kyle turning into a rocket.
Until then.
Until then, goodbye. See you next week. Oh my God.